Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathy Kay and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, March 23rd, 2020. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are on page 98, the third paragraph down. Today's readers are Lorraine N., reading the 12 steps, Sandy D., reading the 12 traditions, and Dawn B., Leslie M., and Kathleen O., reading the text. Share ID numbers for yesterday, Sunday's special edition is 14,292 or 14292. And the share ID number for this morning's 7 a.m. meeting is 14,294 or 14294. And I should also mention that our newcomer greeter today is Maria F., and giving us announcements will be Robin P., and thank you, Mo H., for getting us started. Okay, OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover, through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Lorraine N. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning. Lorraine N. here in Redmond, Oregon. Here are the steps we took which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove, all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service, and I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Sandy D. Lorraine N. I'll now ask Sandy D. to read the 12 traditions. Thank you.
Good morning. This is Sandy D from Illinois, grateful for recovery one day at a time. The 12 traditions, number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me do service, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Sandy D. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirements for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinent requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speaker's, should be muted. Today, we begin our study on page 98 of the Big Book, the third paragraph, which begins, Now the Domestic Problem. And I will ask Leslie M. to get us started.
Good morning, Kathy K. Thank you for service. I am Leslie M., a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. Now the Domestic Problem. There may be divorce, separation, or just strained relations. When your prospect has made such reparation as he can to his family and has thoroughly explained to them the new principles by which he is living, he should proceed to put those principles into action at home. That is, if he is lucky enough to have a home. Though his family be at fault in many respects, he should not be concerned about that. He should concentrate on his own spiritual demonstration. Argument and fault fighting are to be avoided like the plague. In many homes, this is a difficult thing to do, but it must be done if any results are to be expected. If persisted in for a few months, the effect on a man's family is sure to be great. The most incompatible people discover they have a basis upon which they can meet. Little by little, the family may see their own defects and admit them. These can then be discussed in an atmosphere of helpfulness and friendliness. What this paragraph makes me think is when it says, Now the domestic problem, there may be strained relations. I find that I've had strained relations with pretty much all the people that I was in relationship in my life. Things are different now, but the thing that I have to remember is always to remember that I'm the one with the program. I have the 12 steps to live by. So I'm the one that's responsible for my own behavior and for how I am with others. At the last sentence here, it says, an atmosphere of helpfulness and friendliness. So that's a reminder to me that everyone in my life, the people that I work with in program, that's my family, my friends, I need to be helpful and I need to be friendly, you know, and I don't have to be, I was always very negative and judgmental before. So that, you know, this is, I am always going to be a work in progress. But, you know, it says here also, he should not be concerned about that, though his family be at fault in many respects. He should concentrate on his own spiritual demonstration. And that's what I have to do today. Before, and when I've been in programs for 30 years, and before I was recovered, I would always be talking about everything that I was doing, and this was going to be great, and this is how I was doing it, and my food, and blah. And now I find that I don't talk about it hardly at all, because now I can show you that I'm different. I can demonstrate, I have the neutrality around the food, and the mental obsession has been removed. So I am a different person and I behave very differently. And I'm grateful, but I'm grateful for all the steps and 10, 11, and 12, you know, that when I'm feeling restless, irritable, and discontent, I can do a step 10. I check it out in an 11, you know, and make sure that my behavior through the day has been good. And if not, I can go back and make that amend that I need to make and say I'm sorry. So it's all, the focus is still going to be on me and my behavior, how my program is working in my life. And that's going to be demonstrated to others. And perhaps they will see that, and perhaps they won't. But my job is to make sure that I recover, recover, recover. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Leslie M. Okay, who would like to share on what was just read?
Lisa G.
Robin.
Okay.
Elena C.
I'm sorry,
Michelle F.
C is all I got. One at a time, please.
Robin P.
Robin P.
Sandy E.
Joni. Was it Joni E?
Jody.
Jody E. I'm sorry, Jody. Yes. Next.
Sandy B.
Sandy B.
Kim T.
Jen T.
Elena
Ginger C.
Helena, what was your initial?
Elena, E-L-E-N-A-C.
C, okay, Elena C. I think I heard a Michelle. Did I hear a Michelle? Okay, maybe not. Who else did I hear?
Yes. Yes, Michelle F.
Michelle F. And anyone else?
Ginger C.
Okay, Ginger C. Let's stop there. I have Lisa G., Robin P., Jody E., Sandy B., Jen T., Elena C., Michelle F., and Ginger C. Okay, great lineup. Let's begin now with Lisa G. Thank you, Lisa. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. This is Lisa G., recovering in Texas, and wow, this really hits me because I've always been so good at taking other people's inventory, so good, looking at other people's plates, looking at other people's lives, and I can spot on tell you what your character defects are. So when I got into program, you know, it started to, people started telling me, you know, keep your eyes on your own plate. Keep your eyes on your own plate. And they weren't talking about food. They were talking about character defects. And through the years, and I've been in 12-step program for food for 12 years, and I still can spot them. I can still spot them, and I'd much rather spot it in you than spot it in me. So what I've had to learn how to do is just be disciplined in tying my tongue in a knot or biting it till it bleeds, so that I don't say anything to my husband or my daughter about how messed up they are and how they need to go on a 12-step program and how they need to do this and they need to do that, and turn that on myself and look at myself and see what I need to do in these steps. And basically, I've gotten a lot better at it, but there's a lot more work to be done. And the other thing I wanted to say was, you know, there's things that my family can do that really tweak me, that really push my buttons. And before, I would just, you know, bite their heads off. And now I just bite my tongue instead. And sometimes I have to walk out of the room. Sometimes I have to walk away. But bless them, change me is a really good prayer for me. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you, Lisa G. Robin P., please share with us. Robin, please.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Kathy. Sorry. This is Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida. And I'm just really grateful for these meetings. Wow. It's just the real food, real nourishment. So the domestic problem. So when I came into the program 4 years ago, this time, thank God I've been absent for 4 years now, I was divorced. And during my recovery, my husband invited me to go to church with him on Christmas Eve. And I heard God say, Merry Christmas. This is my gift to both of you. And we started dating again, and we got remarried during the wildfires in Los Angeles in 2018. We didn't plan the wildfires part. Our friend's house where we were having our wedding reception burned down to the ground the night before our wedding. Our honeymoon resort burned down to the ground the night before our wedding. So we had our wedding, our reception, and our honeymoon in our church rectory. And I felt so carried by the loving hand of God. And I still feel like that. And I'm so grateful because I've seen our relationship pre-program and post-program, during program. And my husband's in a recovery program now, too. And it is such a blessing. It is the, it's our mutual language. It's our, we get to keep our eyes on ourselves and communicate. Wow. Like, just all these gifts that we got from the program. We just didn't have language or knowledge of, we didn't have emotional wisdom, emotional intelligence, and the program had a gift that to us, and that spirit of helpfulness and friendliness and honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness with each other. My husband looks like he's got his, you know, last week of work, and they're going to close, and we just get to keep communicating. And someone told us about Chapter 9. They have, it's Chapter 9 from the Big Book. It's Couples in Recovery Together. And we went on a virtual, on a Zoom meeting yesterday. So it's like all of these things because of the program. We just know we're not alone, no matter what it looks like on the outside. You know, we're not alone. And I'm so eternally grateful for this program. God bless everybody with a very blessed, abstinence day. With that, I pass.
Thanks so much, Robin P. Jody E., please share with us.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered in California. I love the way this paragraph begins. Now, the domestic problem, which states that there's going to be a problem. When there is alcoholism, when there is the disease of compulsive eating, there's going to be a domestic problem if you are lucky enough to have a family. So it's a given that there's going to be problems when we're in this disease, at least strained relations. And also it says, in many homes, concentrating on our own spiritual demonstration and not finding fault with the family is a very difficult thing to do, but it must be done if any results are to be expected. What can we expect from our family but to retaliate towards us when we have been spending years in our selfishness and self-centeredness? It's to be expected for them to be reactionary. I must take the lead, which is not easy. No one said this is going to be easy, but it can be done. It is by going through the difficulty that we come out the other side, by accepting the responsibility of our action and our inaction. Now, I don't have a great track record with this, I'm afraid to say. I am divorced, so I am not an authority. But my hat is off to all of you who are in marriages and who are making it work. And I'd love to hear from some of you. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Jody E. Sandy B., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Sandy D., recovered in Illinois. And I just had to claim my seat today, especially with the line, argument and fault finding are to be avoided like the plague. I think my whole life has been spent arguing with people and trying to prove that I was right. And, you know, coming into 12-step almost 4.5 years ago, it took me a while to learn what I needed to let go of and several fourth and fifth steps. The last fifth step that I did in September, I realized I hadn't made an amends to my daughter-in-law. I think before I decided that I was just going to do a living amends. But in reading some old journaling that I'd done on my nightly inventories, I'd held on to this resentment towards her of, you know, she just wouldn't allow me to see my grandchildren as much as I wanted to. And then I heard a share online from someone about treating their children as a commodity. And I thought to myself, in my selfishness, what I had done was treated my grandchildren as a commodity, that it was my right to see them. And, you know, that has totally changed in the last 6 months. Just working on that selfishness and learning. The most important line that I have learned in this program is to say to other people, you may be right. I don't think I ever said that in my life. And through working the 12 steps and living in 10, 11, and 12, now I can say that, and I don't even have to act as if to say it. I know other people may be right, and I don't know it all. Wow, is that a huge, huge revelation for me? And I am also divorced, so I've had to learn through the school of hard knocks how many relationships that I've been a tornado in and destroyed, and how much I was at fault in those relationships. But it's like now, it seems like this other layer to me of working on my emotional sobriety is so important. Yes, I put the food down, but my relationships, they always need more work. But my family, especially a comment my son made to me, he said, gee, I wish Aunt Marge would find the meaning in life that you have through your recovery. I mean, that's huge to be told that by a son, especially when his wife was the one I was at odds with all the time. Now when he hugs me, I feel the love come across. It is just huge. I just encourage you all to just keep working and through these trying times and hang in there. I love you all, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Sandy B. Oops. Thank you very much. Jen T., please share with us.
Hi, I think you met Kim T., unless there's another.
Kim, go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Kim T., compulsive reader, food addict from Denver. You know, this big book, every time I read it, every time you guys read it and I'm on the line, I swear there's different lines and new lines added that just hit me right between the eyes, and this morning was in the gut. What I related to this whole thing, at the bottom of page 98, It says, argument and fault finding are to be avoided like the plague. Well, I only saw argument, and in our family, we're not real arguers. We're not passionate people like that. But man, I had so much fault finding for my husband and my son. And I'm going to get emotional, but this is all good. I was so full of fault finding. And in me, you know, and of course I couldn't take the log out of, or couldn't see the log in my eye, however that goes. It's just so humbling, and it continues to be humbling. But then on the next page, it said, it must be done if any results are to be expected. So there's a must. And I get, the bottom line is, I just want to say I am so grateful to be in the book, to be working the steps, to be honest as I can today. And I know every single moment of every day, just because of these meetings, the steps, God, praying, meditation, I feel like I can be more honest, and I see more things that crop up. And I don't ever want to go face down in the food again, because I was out of these rooms for 10 years, and I didn't gain all my weight back, but I was crazier than I had ever been in my entire life, and I was thinking about taking my own life all the time. And and the other part I want to mention too is, if he is lucky enough to have a home. Honestly, I don't know how my husband put up with me all that. I don't know. And, you know, I can kvetch about my home, and it's like not the house I want, or I want, you know, want something different. But I am lucky and blessed to have a home. And it just reminds me that gratitude is so powerful. So thank you so much. And I pass.
Thanks so much, Kim T. Elena C., please share with us.
Good morning, everyone. This is Elena C. from Greenville, South Carolina. It's good to be here. I just want to comment on the most incompatible people discover they have the basis upon which they can meet, and I think that is absolutely amazing. And I think that it's true. And if I'm just willing and try to access my higher power through the tools of this program, I have an experience of expressing everything, you know, like be able to express everything that I feel I need to be to express to others, and hear other people out. And the basis upon which we can meet others is via my higher power, via their higher power. And, you know, that's good news. That's good news, because when I'm not in conscious contact, you know, the experience is I'm afraid to approach these people. I'm not compatible with them. They did something to harm me. You know, I disregard how, and I minimize how I harmed them, right? And that's no good. And, you know, there's a basis. We all have a basis upon which we can meet, and I'll so much take that with me today because I need to. In, at home with my family and my extended family here, and I just need to remember that it's, you know, we have a basis upon which we can meet, and the higher power will is a basis we can meet. And also, just, you know, just a reminder of staying with my vulnerability. The reason I cannot meet others is because I cannot stay with my own vulnerability. My vulnerability are those feelings of discomfort and pain that I want to shy away from. And because I am recovered today, I know that there is a way I could stay with my vulnerability and be okay, and be okay. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Elena C. Michelle F., please share with us.
Thank you, moderator. May I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Okay. Just wonderful to hear everyone's shares. I'm deeply humbled. I feel a great sense of shame when I hear this paragraph, when I read this paragraph, because that first sentence was an understatement in my home. We were at war with each other. And my relationship with my oldest daughter really suffered. We're just not as close as I would like to be. And now she's going away to college, hopefully, next year. And you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube, you know. It's done. I couldn't wait to find fault with everybody. I was so hoity-toity with this. I was better than. And, you know, I just kicked myself because it's like, why did I think I was able to do that? It's like I totally missed the point. All this was going on while I was riding my fourth. And, I found fault all over the place, and I tried to cram Big Book down everyone's throat. And, you know, I can remember my sponsor at the time just saying to me, please, please don't make any decisions until after you've been through all the steps, because I wanted to get a divorce. I was so unhappy. And I'm glad she did, because, you know, I had to look at my own side in the marriage. I was pretty rotten. I was looking outside my marriage. I was attracted to someone else and flirting with him and ignoring my children. And I had the audacity to point at my husband's emotional entanglements. You know, I was doing it as well. And he was actually way more forgiving, and he had no program. And it just also makes me very humble and grateful for the sponsor I have, because, you know, if there wasn't a relationship that I just abused, it was hers, and because she wasn't supposed to be my therapist, she wasn't supposed to be my guidance counselor, but I came to her so often. Now, he said this, and she said that, and God, how many times did she say, you know, are we going to work on the steps, because unless we are, I'm hanging up. How on earth she put up with me all this time for as long as she did, I'll never know. But I'm grateful. I'm grateful to get to this paragraph, and I really hope I can make a demonstration of these spiritual principles in my home, because I've been blessed because I was willing to keep working. I was given a second chance with my husband. We're still married. We've remarried. And though things are not as close as I would hope with my oldest daughter, she says she loves me every day, and we hug every day. And I tell her I love her as often as possible. So, you know, my higher power at least is very merciful. And I'm so grateful for these phone meetings, for all of you, and for the service that all of you are doing. Thank you so much. I pass.
Thank you, Michelle F. Ginger C., please share with us.
Hi, good morning, Kathy, and thank you so much for your service. This is Ginger C., recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. So he should proceed to put these principles, these 12 steps, into action at home. He should concentrate on his own spiritual demonstration. And on page 19, it says a much more important demonstration of our principles, again, these 12 steps, lies before us in our respective homes, our occupations and affairs. And I'm really such a proponent for this home peace. You know, I love Mother Teresa's quote, if you want world peace, go home and love that family. And it's a place that sometimes can be more challenging, and sometimes a place I try to neatly evade or ignore because of those challenges. But this book is so clear with these directions, and I'm so grateful that I get to practice this just for today, one day at a time. And yesterday, we were not practicing it very well within our home. We have a son that had surgery Thursday, and he's post-op, and his pain was just on top of him, and we couldn't get on top of the pain. And so it really raised the fear within us, and we were reacting. And of course, when I'm disturbed, I'm always axiom, it's me. I'm in fear, my son's in pain, and there's nothing I can do. And so turn my attention put it somewhere else, right? Because I can't stand this uncomfortableness and I need the channel to change. So I just totally went into my husband, and because it gets the focus off me, don't you know? I can't stand this feeling inside of me, so I'm going to put it onto you. I'm going to punish you. You're the bad one. Make you wrong. And how did that help yesterday in a crisis situation? We already had a huge problem. Our son was in pain, and we were trying to obviously get on top of that with the medicine that wasn't working, but did it help to escalate things by punishing, yelling, being mean towards one another? Absolutely not. But again, we're practicing this imperfectly. We're going to fall short, and that's why we have these 12 steps, especially 10 steps. Where am I going wrong? Where am I forgetting that God is everything? And I get to choose that each and every day. And when I'm close to God, then I don't freak out into the fear and then react poorly onto others. So I get to do this one day at a time. How lucky am I enough to have a home? And I get to practice what I preach. And again, doing it imperfectly, but I'm just going to end with this text that I wrote to my family this morning. And it says, "Good morning, family. First, I want to tell you three how much I love you and how proud I am of you. We are going through very challenging times. You are rising to it, facing your fears with courage and slaying. Please remember, we are all doing our best, and this is the time to give more love, compassion, patience, and understanding. Be gentle with yourselves and know ultimately that God has us all." And so with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Ginger C. Okay, I'd like to take some more names. Who would like to share?
Maria
S.
Shlomi Hanna B.
Maria S.
Shlomi Hanna.
Very great.
Please wait a minute. I got Leah S. and Shlomi Hanna.
Michelle
S.
Mary Heather
Grace.
W.
Michelle, who is that?
Mary Grace.
What page are we on, please?
Is there a Michelle, please?
Yes, Michelle J.
Michelle. I'm sorry, who's next?
Mary
Grace. Mary, and your last initial was? Mary?
Mary Grace H.
Mary Grace H. And I have room for one more.
Maria.
I heard Heather. What was your last initial?
W.
Okay, Heather W. I'm sorry, that's probably all the time we're going to have. So I have Leah S., Shlomi Hanna, Michelle G., Mary Grace H., and Heather W. Please share with us, Leah S. Leah, did I get your name right? Press star 1 to unmute. Okay, I must not have heard you correctly. I will add someone if we have time. Shlomi Hanna, please share.
Hi, this is Leah S. from Brooklyn,
okay,
New York.
Leah.
But I do understand. It has come to my attention there's another Leah S. And I was not the person who had wanted to share, so I'm going to let someone else go ahead.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you, Kathy. Thank you.
Okay. Shlomi Hanna, please share with us.
Hi. Thank you. Can you hear me? This is Shlomi Hanna.
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much for your service. Thank you, everybody, for this meeting, and thank you to the timekeeper. I'm so grateful for this fellowship and for these meetings. They just have saved my life. And I think that in this paragraph, the message that I'm getting from this paragraph is keep your eyes on your own plate, on your own side of the street. You know, in the paragraph, it mentions that, you know, the family – as though his family be at fault in many respects. He should not be concerned about that. So yeah, you know, the family might really be at fault, you know, but that's not the point. And this is something that the big book, the message of the big book gives over and over and over again, is that it's not about the other people. It's about us, because we can't control what other people do. We have zero control. I think this world situation has shown us how little control we have over anything, even the things that we think we have control over. We really have no control at all, zero. The only control is that we have is over ourselves. And honestly, I'm starting to wonder if that's even true. But, you know, for me, I just finished step one. And I need to hear this message. You know, I'm not on step 12 yet. But I need to still hear this message, because it reminds me as a sponsee that, and as a person working a program, that really my job is to work my program to recover, recover, recover. And no matter what other people do, no matter what's happening in the world, no matter what kind of fears or resentments or whatever it is that I have, that I have a program that I can work to keep myself in tow, and that that's my responsibility. Everything else is up to God. And I'm just very appreciative to be reminded of that, because that's really my place. You know, what other people do or other people think of me is really none of their business, none of my business. My business is my recovery. And so with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Shlomi Hana. Michelle G., please share with us.
Michelle J. from Arkansas, can you hear me?
I can. Thank you, Michelle.
Oh, beautiful. Well, so yesterday I had a domestic disturbance, and it kept picking up free rent in my head. And so this morning I thought, okay, I'm going to do my 10-step. That usually takes care of it. And I started doing a little 10-step, and all of a sudden I had this big leap in my whole everything. And I wanted to share, because it was such an encouragement to me, and I want to encourage others. When you are learning to play the piano or learning something, you learn the steps, and you learn them slowly, 1, 2, 3, 4. We have 10 of them. And you do these, and you, the more that you do them, the more that you repeat them, the more that you live in them, they become second nature. So I'm doing my 10th step, and all of a sudden I leapt from focusing on these two people and pointing my finger and being hurt and being judgmental. It just leaped to, where's it coming from? And immediately, oh my goodness, I went from the first part of a 10 step to the last part of the 10 step in a second. My part, where is this coming from? What it is that's going on? And it was beautiful. It was, I'm in isolation, and I don't like being alone. And things that are going on around me are causing me, not causing me, I am starting to feel abandoned and rejected. But it had nothing to do with the people that I was about to do the 10th step on. And I just think, what a beautiful thing to have my mind go from 0 to 100, and I can claim it for myself, and I can give it to God, and I can, wow, it's amazing. So I want to thank all of you today. Thank Vision. Thank all the people that made the book a long time ago. And just, I'm loving this, and I'm loving recovery. And with that, I'll pass for the next 24 hours. All we have to do is live in those 12 steps. And thank you all. God bless. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Michelle G. Mary Grace H., please share with us.
This is Mary Grace. I'm a compulsive overeater in California. Good morning, everybody. As I was listening to people, I just thought how lucky you who have families are. I'm single, and I wonder how much the disease of compulsive overeating contributed to that, because Sometimes I was thin and sometimes I was not. Not that people should look at people that way, but we know that people do. I do have a couple things I wanted to share. And one is I do have a son. When I was 5 months pregnant, I had to accept that I would be a single mom. And that was difficult, although the big book says we let go of our old ideas. And one of my old ideas is that I would have a child and a family and a husband, et cetera, et cetera. Once I let go of that, I was able to have a happy life with my son. The other thing that I learned, again, when he was young, and as I'm listening to everybody, I thought I would share, because we can use this with anyone. I am your consultant, not your manager. In other words, if somebody needs something and they come to me and they ask me, yeah, I can give them my opinion and I can help them. But if they don't, I'm not their manager. I cannot tell them what to do, where to go, etc. All that does is lead to the disagreements that we're reading about here. And then I heard someone else say, and this is great, because I used to be with a small group of women, and we would practice, because you have to practice this stuff. You may be right. Yeah, what powerful words those are. So it usually stops all arguments. And if I have to repeat it more than once, you may be right. People kind of step back and like, oh, okay, I may be right. So I'm isolated, alone at home, because I'm a senior. And I kind of wish I had a family to argue with. Not really. But peace is wonderful. And I'll share one more thing because it's kind of sad. In my own family, I have a lot of brothers and sisters. So I suggested we have a family conference call. Every single one said no. The reason is they don't get along. I am so blessed because of the 12 steps. I get along with every one of my brothers and sisters. They do not. This one doesn't want to talk to that one. That one doesn't want to talk to that one, et cetera, et cetera. I just stay out of it. I offer the conference call. They don't want to do it. I'll speak to them one by one. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great abstinent day, one day at a time.
Thanks very much, Mary Grace H. Heather W., please share with us.
Hey, good morning, everyone. This is Heather W., recovered in Baltimore. So grateful I got on the line this morning to share. Yeah, and this is just so beautiful. I got married this past summer in July, and let me tell y'all, it is possible to get married and to not eat the cake or to drink or do all of that. That's totally because of this program and being recovered. But I have an amazing, beautiful marriage and a husband that I would never have if it weren't for this program. And, you know, we have an atmosphere in our house of helpfulness and friendliness. Of course, issues come up. There are disagreements, but we can discuss them. We can be loving and gentle, you know. And let me tell y'all, that is not my natural way, right? Like old me before program, before being recovered, all I did was argue and find fault. I love to argue. I would like almost get a high from it. I love to find fault. No more, you know. I practice these principles. I put them into action in my home. Do I do it perfectly? Of course not. We all fall much below the standard many times, like it'll say in the next paragraph. But, you know, whenever I get into that place of, oh, my husband's doing this, they're doing this, this and this, I go, oh, ding, ding, ding. No, I need to do a 10th step. You know, let me look. What am I doing? How am I the problem? Because I know I'm the problem. But I just want to say, you know, and give thanks to this program and to God, because really living in these principles, practicing them at home, beautiful, beautiful things can happen. I would never have, I would not even be married without this program, especially to the husband that I have. So I'm so grateful, and I appreciate getting the opportunity to share.
Thank you very much, Heather W., and that's about all the time we have today. Thank you, everyone who was here to share and to listen. I'm sorry we couldn't hear more of you. Before we say the Serenity Prayer, I'd like to ask Dawn B. to read A Vision for You on page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning. This is Dawn B., recovered in Southern California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.